Welcome to Comics,
episode 202. This week, we talk about Serenity, Leaves on the Wind. Visit us at welcometocomics.com. Listen to past episodes, see what we're reading next, send us a message, or find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. This episode is supported by listeners like you. Go to patreon.com/welcometocomics.
And now, the cast review.
I was driving when I listened to it. No, I was at work, actually.
So, over the last couple days, I have been on Twitter. Do either of you guys listen to the Mom Stuff Never Told You podcast?
No.
It's kind of like, it's like Stuff You Should Know, but about women's issues. And I just listen to it because they're, like, the hosts are, hostesses are awesome, and some of the topics are interesting for me. Some of them are not, but some of them are still kind of interesting. So, they've had a couple episodes now talking about, like, feminism in comic books and the comics industry. And so over the last couple days, I've been, like, tweeting them, like, you guys should read Bitch Planet. Have you heard of Kelly Sue DeConnick? You should this, you should that. And today I was, like, I tweeted from our podcast account, and I was, like, who else thinks that Mom Stuff Never Told You would do an awesome interview of Kelly Sue DeConnick? And they tweeted back, and they were, like, we think it'd be awesome.
Oh, yes. Sweet.
Yes, make this happen. Trying to make things happen via the internets. The other thing, guys. So, have either of you seen our Patreon page?
No.
No.
I'm terrible.
Terrible co-host, terrible. But we have a fucking patron.
Well, yeah, you told
Yeah, you told us that.
Dude. It's so baller. The guy's name is Raymond, and he's from Canada.
What?
Who is he?
International, like, listenership. No, so I messaged him, and I was like, dude, thank you so much for supporting our show, and this and that. And I told him, like, you know, for $5, like, we're going to all sign a comic and send it to you. And, you know, like, by the way, Raymond, that's going to probably come after I get back from Costa Rica, so, like, February, and since it's international, maybe until, like, so it'll be a while until he gets it. But we'll all sign that and send it to him. But then he also, I was like, so, you know, you can pick which segment we're going to do next. And by the way, since you're our first patron ever, like, is there anything you want us to read? Right? And so he writes back and he says, I found your show early last year and have eagerly awaited each new episode since. And I'm like,
wow.
Yeah, wow. What a baller.
Oh my goodness.
we have a fan.
I'm like a little bit, fireworks. Like, choked up about that.
That is awesome. So nice.
I know. And so I asked him, like, is there a segment you want us to do? And he's like, Fight Night would be kind of cool, like a good friendly argument. And he said, he hasn't gone through the whole back catalog, but he was thinking that we could do Ms. Marvel. And I was like, I really wanted that to be my choice for Best of 2014. So I think once we're done with this Best of 2014 series, the trade paperback edition, when we start before the graphic novel, we'll have a Best of 2014 listener's choice. That'll
have
Raymond's choice of Ms. Marvel. Because it was on our Best of 2014 list. We just didn't get it in.
Oh, I'm so... Let's do... Yeah, we need to do that.
No,
we're
going to
do this for our boy Raymond, who is our very first patron ever.
Wait, so is he... Is he giving $5 per episode?
Yeah. What a boss!
Because I'm looking at the page now. That's amazing.
So, for only 50 cents an episode, right, like, we're gonna name drop you however you want us to name drop you. For $2 an episode, we let them pick which comes next, Fight Night, trivia, quotes, and if we're kind of booked up on that, I'll say, you know, tell us what comic book you want us to read. We'll read anything. I don't care if it's Tarot Volume 2 or the second half of Batman Odyssey. Like, we'll do that. Maybe not Spawn. That's negotiable.
And then, I think if somebody is paying $5 a week to listen to us talk, we can read Spawn again.
That's
yes,
true. Yes, we can. So, but then the $5 per episode, for that, I'm going to take a comic book out of my long box. I don't know what it's going to be. I'm just going to dig in my long box and find something. It might be awesome or it might be fucking terrible or ridiculous. I don't know. And then I'll sign it and I'll find you guys, track you two down.
Hey,
and we'll all sign it and mail it to them in Canada.
I have a big box of comics that I I don't have no desire to keep. I don't want to say that I want to get rid of.
I got a bunch of trash you fans can have.
No, it's they're not trash. They're just things I don't. I need to get rid of some, and I'm happy to contribute.
Cool. Yeah, I was so psyched when I got that, and I was like, okay, I haven't done Patreon before. I've only ever donated or been a patron for the Angry Chicken, a Hearthstone podcast. And I was like, I don't know how scammy or reliable this is. This is a real guy, right? So I messaged him and I was like, oh my God, it is a real guy. He's from Canada.
That's beautiful. I want to go hug him.
It's great. So for everybody else listening who doesn't know if they want to be a patron or not, seriously, a quarter, I don't care. We will shout you out for a quarter an episode.
Wait, are we recording right now?
Yeah, we're just going to roll right into it from now on.
What about... Oh, because there's a different intro.
That's right, yeah. There is.
I'm so confused. That was...
No, that confused me, too.
It's all right. We're not used to professionalism yet.
Okay.
I don't think we ever will be.
Probably not. So, anyway, you guys ready to talk about this week's comic?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
All right.
This week's comic.
So, before we start getting into this episode...
Yeah.
Before we get into the meat of the discussion... I might draw some hate mail.
Okay.
Just want to put that out there. So, listeners, brace yourself.
So, we are doing our traditional Best of 2014 series to start off the new year. The thing is our list was so big this year that we split it up into Best of 2014 Trade Paperback and Best of 2014 Graphic Novel. So, we're starting out with the 2014, and this week was Jen's choice. Of Serenity Leaves on the Wind. I'm not saying Jen's choice, she says, this is the best comic. We just had a big list, and I was like, you guys, pick something off the list, because I ain't picking all four. And she picked Serenity, which I'm happy with, because I actually had that shit on my pull list, so I had the whole thing just sitting there in my long box.
Nice.
Because I told them, pull anything that has Serenity or Firefly on it, because I want that.
Once again, I'm quite impressed by the Dark Horse app.
Right?
I bought the bundle from Dark Horse and read it on my iPhone 5, so it doesn't have a very big screen, and it's very readable. It's great. I've read Comixology on their app on my phone, mm-hmm. and it's pretty good, but the Dark Horse one, blows it away. It's, I don't feel like I'm selling myself short by reading it on a phone instead of, a tablet. I mean, I have a tablet too, but, I also have my phone with me, so if I'm, sitting around or, I have some downtime, I can pull my phone out and read some comics, and it's great. Dark Horse isn't paying me anything. I just think of all the comic reading apps I've used, theirs is definitely the best, so.
Oh, yeah. So we're going to shout out every time we come across it then, because everybody should have a good digital delivery method nowadays. It shouldn't be that hard.
And the thing is, I'm all for supporting your local comic book store, because I think that they are very important to the comic book community and, nerdy people in general. But, sometimes I can't go to the store and get the whole run or the trade that, they're sold out or something, and I want to get the comic to read, in the case of this... In this week's episode, so I've looked on Comixology first because that's always where I go to, and I couldn't find it. And then I was like, well, wait a minute, that's a Dark Horse title.
Yeah.
And I went to Dark Horse, and they had a bundle of all six issues for $9.
Nice. Ooh. That's way cheaper than I paid.
Yeah, same.
But you know what? I was happy to get the polls because, the thing. Serenity was really good as a movie and a TV show and all, but even at the end, there's, stuff just kind of hanging there. And they've come out with other comics that fill in some blanks, who the hell was Shepherd Book? Let's fill that in. And they filled that in, and it's awesome. But, one of the things that a lot of fans have been clamoring for was, what happens right after the movie? Are Mal and Inara a thing now? Because they were kind of talking about it, and they kind of work. What happens with Zoe now that Wash is gone? And River okay now, or is she kind of fucked up still? I don't know. And, what's the Alliance going to do? Because apparently everybody knows that the Alliance created fucking Reavers. So, there was all this just, leftover stuff. And I love this comic for just, picking all of that up.
Yes, the comic does do that.
Well, and it does it in so many of the ways that like the fans would have predicted too, and not predicted, like the Malin and Ara. I ship a lot when I watch TV.
So here's the thing. Here's kind of my thoughts on Firefly and Serenity as a franchise. I think the show's good, and I enjoyed the movie. Remember, we went and watched it in a theater, Andy, at Comic-Con. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I've never been into it as a lot of people were, and so I'm just going to get this out of the way right now. As a Firefly comic, I think this was fine. As a comic, I thought it was okay.
Well, there's nothing
about it. I didn't think it was bad, but there's nothing about this comic that like blew me away.
You know, I actually agree with that entirely. And I was really, really looking forward to this because I had read some of the other Firefly comics, the one that talks about where Shepherd Book is from, and I think there was another one too. It's been a while. It told a nice story, and we got some resolution for some issues that, you know, like, were clearly traumatic to fans, like Wash's death. But at the same time, I don't know, I feel like, and I've actually said this about the Whedon brothers stuff before, and it's that it comes across way better on the screen because part of their writing is so heavily based in timing. And the reader determines the timing to some degree with the comic. You can control it as the author a little, you know, by framing it out, separating the word bubbles. But it's the delivery that really makes their writing sparkle. And here you don't get it as much. And I've noticed this with, like, Buffy Season 8 comics as well, and Angel After the Fall. Like, I would say that the Whedons shine most on the screen. So I liked this comic. I thought it was fun, and I'm glad that I dropped, you know, my $10 on it. But it's not the best comic I've ever read, and I don't really know if it belongs on Best of 2014.
See, you know what? I really think this would have been a great two-episode, like a great two-parter on television. And I think I agree with you guys that this comic, it feels like something's kind of missing. And I think it's partially timing, and I think it's length. I think it's missing a couple issues. Not that there's things missing in the story, but some shit just felt rushed. Like why was Jubal Early even there? I love Jubal Early. He's one of my favorite characters in all of Firefly. I love Jubal. But, like, he just kind of comes in and gets beat and then leaves. And if you only have 6 issues, how does that move the story any better than anyone else, you know? Like, what was the function there? And that's why I think, like, this would be great, 8, 10, maybe even 12 issues. You have more time, you can walk the reader through stuff. And, you know, you say timing is up to the reader, and it is for the most part. But then you get things where, like, they'll repeat the same frame 3 or 4 times to hold a moment, you know? And they do that a little bit here when they have space and time to do it. Like when they're in the, who is it? When it's the Doctor and River, and they're, like, in the mess, and they're, like, looking back and forth. There's, like, 4 panels where there's just no dialogue. And it's like, that is great because that slows the reader down. It shows you the timing, the acting in the scene. And that's what you need more of if you want to have something that translates from television. And I think obviously this has to translate from television.
This is what I think, especially since you brought up Jubal. The thing is, like, I feel like Zach Whedon is definitely, I don't let me rephrase that. It's not that I feel like it. I'm sure that he is playing, he's setting this up, setting the readers up for more after the sixth issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
oh,
so
yes.
The reason why he was here and then left and then he shows up at the end again is because I feel like maybe it was like, hey, don't forget about this guy. But, you know, I would have upset more Firefly fans right now. When Jubal showed up, I was like, I don't know why. I was like, oh, it's the operative.
That's what I thought,
blah, 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 blah. And then I was like, then the operative showed up again later, and I was like, what the fuck?
It took me a moment.
And then I was like, oh, wait a minute. It's that guy from that one episode.
I think it's partially setting the reader up for more. And then there's also two new crew members. There's Bea and Iris, mm-hmm. right? So, like, they're definitely setting you up for, like, if you really like this six-issue thing, maybe Dark Horse will give us six more. Maybe they'll give us 12 more. Maybe they'll give us an ongoing. Here's a bunch of stuff. And I don't know if it's because of that or just tangentially or also, but there's a lot of, like, not fan service stuff in here. One of the things I love about this comic is it answers all of those questions, but it's a little suspicious that it answers all of those questions.
Well, the reason my first thought is that it's a bit of fan service, but I don't think it's fan service in the negative connotation.
No.
Because when people are like, oh, it's just fan service, it's like they're going to make, you know, Zoe single now. She's going to show a little bit more cleavage for all you Zoe fans out there.
Oh, yeah.
Or they're going to start shipping everybody, but they don't, right?
No.
Like, ooh, anymore. River's got a boyfriend or something. They didn't do anything stupid like that. Like the Mal and Inara thing, that was kind of, we all thought about that. We all knew that was coming, and then the Kaylee and Simon was, that was at the end of the movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or was in the movie. So they didn't go. There were no lines crossed into creepy fanfic, you know. So I think from that's why I said that I think as far as a Firefly comic goes and a continuation of where the franchise left off on the big screen. This does a good job. I think major Firefly fans will be happy with this.
Dude, you know what? This is going to sound stupid, but I just figured out exactly what is missing from this comic for me. Because when you mentioned the Doc and Kaylee, I was thinking Kaylee's line, screw this, I want to live, when she realizes that she might get sex if they live.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, screw this, I want to live, I'm going to get laid. And then I was thinking about all the other good lines in the TV show. Like, I aim to misbehave, and I'm a leaf on the wind. Like, all these really good lines. The show is so smooth and quippy and quotable. And this comic, there's one line that sticks with me, and it's not because I go, yeah, what a badass! It's because I go, oh, shit, that's fucked up. When I get that feeling when the one doctor is talking to River and saying that these are different from you because these are complete. And then you get the sense of like, oh, fuck. Like, not only are these more advanced than River, they're also probably fully brainwashed, and sure enough, they are.
Yeah.
Like, That's the only moment that line sticks out in my head, but it doesn't stick in your head the same way that, like, I aim to misbehave sticks in your head.
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that. The only character that sounded like they did in the show in my head was Mal. Even though he didn't have a line like, I aim to misbehave, the choice of dialogue and stuff, and it was sounded like Mal to me, and then I put his voice and cadence onto it.
Yeah.
But nobody else really sounded like the same. Maybe River a little bit.
A little, but...
But I feel like everybody was just like... I don't know. They just were... They didn't sound like they necessarily did in the show in my head. But they didn't... It's hard for me not to make that sound like a negative.
Well, it's tough because they're all different too, right? Like River, if the show kept going, River would sound and act differently because she's better because she got the secret of Miranda out of her head. So she won't be as crazy and she'll sound different. And Zoe won't be as, she won't be as confident and smooth because Wash just died. And Mao won't be as confrontational because he's getting sex on the reg. Like, these characters would be different. And so, it's hard to read their cadence when they are different. If, like, it, yeah.
There was one that got me, and I actually want your guys' input on this, because it's been about a year since I rewatched Firefly last. And I feel like, to me, Kaylee wasn't Kaylee. And she's one of my favorite characters, and everything's shiny with her, right? And in this one, when Jubal comes, she whacks him over the head, you know, and takes him down. It's like, yeah, go her. But then it shows him chained to a chair, and she brings out all her tools, and she's like,
yeah, she's like, torture you. Torture it.
I can't see it. And am I forgetting something about the show where she has, like, I don't know, I wouldn't even call this a tough side. This is a dark side.
Because she was always, like, so sweet in the show.
Yeah, is this...
In my reading of the comic, I never, like, I saw, you know, I read the part where she brought her tools out, but I never occurred to me that she was actually gonna torture him.
I don't think she would, but even the threat seems so un-Kaylee. It's like, this is the kind of crap they let Jayne deal with.
Yeah, that's what Jayne is there for.
Yeah.
In his own special brand of crazy.
It didn't bother me because it would never occur to me in a million years that Kaylee would actually do that. But I can see where you're coming from. It's certainly not a Kaylee type of thing to do.
Yeah.
It just threw me off so hard that she even threatened to do it, because she's like the nicest person. Yeah.
And this is where not having Jewel State, the actual actress, speaking the lines and acting the character is something that's lacking. You know, in a couple instances, like, okay, Nathan Fillion brings a lot to the part, but Malcolm is such a, like, established, entrenched character in people who are reading this have watched Firefly and Serenity. Like, you're not going to get a new reader coming to this, probably not anyway. So, like, it's, that character is so entrenched in your head, there's, like, only so many ways to do that character. But I think what Jewel State brought for Kaylee was much more significant. Because there are moments like this in the show where she kind of plays dark, but not in like an evil or vindictive kind of a way, just like a don't be hurt in mind kind of a way.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And she can do that and still have her sweetness and like in the very next scene, and it doesn't come off as weird, it's just she has that switch. Like, I found a home here, and you threatened my home, and you don't do that. You know? But in a comic, you don't get that pacing and, like, the tone of voice change that you get with a show.
Yeah, it's... You can read her as much darker, because she doesn't have that, like, bubbly tone, which is really just implied by voice, really. Mm-hmm. So... I will say, though, I felt like, out of all the characters, Zoe stayed closest to, like, the prototype.
Prison
especially
Zoe
in prison.
Is my fucking yes. favorite. And that cover, where she is just standing over that guy that she beat. Holy shit. That's a good cover. Yeah, because her in prison is the best. She's just, like, totally... I don't care how many times I have to fight and win, because I know they're coming for me, and I'm not going to let this place break me. Fuck you.
It's all the best parts of Zoe, like the stubbornness and the trust in her friends and the badassery.
Mm-hmm.
See, I feel like I feel like that was something that was missing from the comic, was, well, more time showing Zoe in prison. I feel like that is something, if we were watching the show, they could have spent more time doing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I really do think if they make this even 8 issues instead of 6, it'd be so much better.
Because I feel like, you know, Zoe would get into some more mischief than just fist fights in prison, Especially with that really interesting look. Her cellmate was, like, pretty interesting looking.
Yeah. Like, what's going on with that guy?
I think that was... I'm pretty sure that was a lady, Andy.
Was it a lady?
Yeah.
I think so. An old woman, I think.
But, like, that's what I mean. It's like, I feel that, like, there could have been more shown about that. Because it's supposed to be, like, this desolate, you know, they weren't able to terraform this planet. And we get, like, you know, all we get is when they drop her off and then when they pick her up.
Yeah, and, like, a fight in between.
Like, how long was she there? I don't know. That would be interesting. That would be something to know, right? I mean, obviously she got into multiple fights. But did that happen every day? Did it happen over, like, the course of a day? Was one fight before lunch and the other was after? Who knows? Like, that's the kind of thing I just feel like that was something that was missing. That could have been, you know, it could have been great. It could have been a really, really good subplot.
Yeah, and I think, like, on the... with Zoe's situation, too, it's, like, a great way to exemplify both the universe that Firefly takes place in and also the tone, because it's, like, shitty and rough, right? Like, people are fighting for their lives and nothing is nice, and that's the universe. But then putting Zoe in that situation, she's really, like, quippy and snarky as fuck. So... she exemplifies the tone of the show, too. And if you drew that out more, it would be kind of like... it would ground us more in the feeling that this was spinning out of the movie more than just kind of like a tacked-on addition.
Yeah.
I think the thing that really helps carry over tone and... I don't know how to transition, but I know there's a transition there. I really loved the villain. I really loved Rogers. Because he fights the same way that the Alliance fights in the show and in the movie. He uses a vast array of resources and wealth and scheming and planning to execute something that should win. And he explains to you why he doesn't. Like, he explains to B, like, you guys were a problem. Because you were screwing around, unorganized, and we couldn't get you. We just couldn't. So we encourage you to be a little bit more like us, and now we can fight on your wavelength. And that perfectly explains why the Firefly crew was successful in surviving and fighting back a little bit all those years, is because they didn't fight on the same wavelength. They fought on a different level, a lower level, you know? And that's a theme that carried through the entire show, that I think undercurrents this comic, too, in a really similar way. And it's just, a bunch of the details feel off in this comic, but I think that that fundamental base, not just the struggle between the Browncoats and the Alliance, but also how they both fight and why this dynamic stays interesting, even though there's no way the Browncoats should have a fighting chance in hell. You know? Like, that dynamic carries over wonderfully, I think, in this new Rogers guy.
Yeah. I actually really liked that the like this new rebellion is not even a rebellion. It, because, you know, the comic starts with people debating whether or not the Miranda thing's real, and it seems like the citizen reaction to it is quickly dropped. Like, they're kind of just setting it up as, oh, this, remember this happened in the movie. Mm-hmm. But then you get Rogers in there, and it's, like, bringing it back around, saying, you know, yes, we did have to deal with the Miranda incident, and yes, we did do our standard propaganda. And it just, I don't know, it ties it into the overarching plot that we see with the show and the movie and then here, rather than just kind of being about these characters in this specific situation.
Yeah, and you get to see, I think, how the Alliance tries to peacefully handle the situation with the spin control, the douchebag on television. You see that. But then, I mean, this got out to people, and people did believe it. Some people are believing this spin, but some people did believe the thing, the recording from Miranda. And those people that believed it become the new resistance. And through them, you get to see how the Alliance will violently handle the believers. Like, they'll do the spin control. Yeah, sure, that's great. But if they don't get you with the spin, then they are going to kill you. Like, everybody must fall in line with the Alliance. And I will use every possible thing I have at my disposal to get you into the one place and round you up so I can just come in and murder you en masse and just solve this problem in one fell swoop. I really like the new resistance and how that, like you knew there's no way they'd get an army to oppose the Alliance. So the whole time, from the very first frame I saw them, I was like, oh, how poorly is this going to end? Because you know it's not going to end well. You're just waiting for them all to get finished off or scattered or something to happen to them.
Yeah, I will say, like, they did a good job with the new resistance plot, but then the other plot that kind of tied it into the main thing, the other girls that were being experimented on.
Oh, yeah.
This is the part that really makes me wish it was a longer run, because I feel like they cut that so short.
Yeah.
And there were a couple things that made no sense. So, for instance, that girl who was clearly, like, the operative was afraid of her. And at the end, she pulls off her wig, and it's revealed that she was one of those girls.
Yeah.
Like, I feel... based on in the movie when River takes out, like, a shit ton of Reavers, she should have been able to take out some, like, new brown coats, no problem. And yet, they somehow got out of that alive? So it was just contradictory, this idea that she is, like, super scary, and even the operative's willing to, like, kneel down and just let her kill him. And then the fact that they escaped somehow, just because a bunch of people ran up and sacrificed themselves instead. So that felt a little off. And then also this idea that there are like 20 other girls in these tanks and only one gets released on them, and they're not going to address the other 20 in any way.
Yeah.
Like, they went there to save all of them, and yes, they did get one, but I don't know, it's still a problem.
Because now you're going to have, like, not just one or two of those agents to worry about. Like, you already know they have agents. They probably have more than just the one guy from the movie. And that's a thing. But he told you they were going to leave you alone. But now you know that there are River agents out there. And not just River. Like, better than River agents out there. And there's not just one or two. There's, like, a couple dozen. And if they send them all after you, you are just blatantly total fucked.
Yeah, I just... you know, I was honestly expecting them to go and rescue these kids and then have, like, an army of, like, ultra-violent children rescue Zoe. I was, like, 50% sure that was going to happen. And then, you know, it's probably better that it didn't happen that way. But I feel like it just could have been developed so much more than it was.
I like that story idea. The Firefly army. Of psychopathic kids.
You can tell I read too many comics.
No, that would be great. That is not too much comics. That is just enough comics. Say, so did the art work for you guys?
In places?
Yeah, I think there were some instances where people looked weird. Like Mal's head looked like it wasn't shaped properly. Well, that's the thing, right? Like, you have these, you're drawing actual people.
Yeah, that's the difficulty.
And so I'm not saying that it's the artist's fault, but, like, that kind of stood out to me. I was like, that looks weird in this one, and then Kaylee kind of looked weird. Everybody, there were always, like, there's a panel or two spread throughout the comic where each character looked a little bit strange. Mm-hmm. It was a little uncanny valley. Like, I knew who it was, but then it didn't look right either. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Well, except for Jubal and the operative, I thought those were. I don't know why I assumed that I just assumed it was the operative, because he seems more badass than Jubal, and like I remember he kind of like went off on his own at the end of the movie, but then I thought, oh, maybe he became a bounty hunter or something, and then it never occurred to me that to think of Jubal. But anyways, I don't know.
And then Zoe looks pretty good, but other than that, yeah.
I feel like they did a good job with Jane. But maybe, I mean, Jane's more recognizable, too.
Yeah, so. Jane's recognizable from his outfit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his cargo pants, shirt, and maybe the hat. After that, I mean, okay, it's Jane. Jane's wearing a t-shirt.
He's got his beard.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That's a feature.
I see him wearing the hat, too.
More like Summer.
Of course you were, Andy.
That's just me, though.
I will say the cover art was really good.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's the more realistic paintings, and those actually look like the actors and actresses, so that was cool. But then, like, oh, I have two really favorite covers. And I got the Kindle edition, so they're showing up as, like, alternate covers for me.
Mm-hmm.
But the one is Inara in her shuttle, and it's kind of... It's framed in this Art Deco way, but it's not an Art Deco style. It's just kind of, how do I put it? Like, the posing and the background create kind of lines that are reminiscent of that. But I just think it's like a really nice portrait of Inara. And, you know, she's just like turning around and looking at the reader. And then... my favorite one is the Mal Reynolds mystery, where it's like based on one of those like pulp mystery novel.
Oh yeah, that's covers. Issue 1.
Yeah, it's Mal and Inara. It's so good. I love that.
Oh, where's the Inara shuttle one? I can't find that one. Mine was an issue 3 one where it's like the upside down one of River falling from like all the zombie people.
Oh yeah,
and what's the other guy? I really love the one of just Zoe standing there over the guy that she beat down.
That's yeah, that was so pretty much, badass.
That's like, look at me, bitch! I'll fuck you up. That's also that's issue 4, the same one. There's another cover there with Kaylee with a big ass fucking wrench. That's a good one.
Yeah, I like that one a lot.
Ooh, the one with Jubal early, and it like shows half his face. And then his spacesuit is reflecting the ship.
Yeah.
Like the other, that one's good, because that's like right after he got spaced in the final episode.
Yep. It's just, it's good. That's the thing. I think that's why this is the best of 2014. Not necessarily because it's a great comic standalone on its own, but I think it's a great comic for what it wants to do. It wants to say... Firefly, Serenity Defense, Brown Coats, everybody come here, and let's have a group hug. And let's bring back everything we love, and let's have a cathartic thing about how Wash died. Don't worry, there's Emma, there's a baby now, new life. Zoe has something to protect. Wash is gone, she can't protect him anymore, but she can protect Emma. And like, not just the group hug thing, but also like, there's so many little things in here. Like Jubal Early, you're right, he is that one guy from that one episode. But I thought he was great, and he was a fan favorite villain because he was so. He's like, he is to this show what Mud is to the original series, or Q is to Next Generation, or like just the lovable villain. Not lovable, that's probably the wrong word. The villain you love to hate. The villain that you just want to see on screen, even though he's bad. And it's great at doing that. It's great at bringing all the fans in and giving them exactly what they want and still being a decent comic. Because I think that's the other thing. It's like you read so many of these licensed comics and they're just not good. They're just not. Right? Or is that just me?
No, I agree with that one.
Yeah. All right, so you guys, let's rate this. David, you go first.
I'm going to give this a 3 because, like I said, I thought it was a pretty decent comic, and I don't really have anything bad to say about it. but it didn't blow me away. I certainly enjoyed reading it, and if you are a fan of Firefly, then you definitely should read this. If you've not watched Firefly, go watch the show.
Yeah.
And then the movie, in that order, watch the show and then the movie. And then decide if you want to read the comic. If you're a big fan of the movie after watch, if you're a big fan of the franchise after watching the movie and the show, then read the comic. So, three. I think that's, like I said, I don't have anything bad to say about it, but didn't blow me away. So, there you go.
Jen?
3.5. I enjoyed it. I had fun. I'm glad I bought it. And I will probably reread it in the future. But, you know, it's we discussed a lot of problems with it. It felt too short. And I won't say that's like a major issue with comics for me, because I feel like it's no one's fault that they were only given a certain number of issues. And they did a good job with what they had. And I don't know, I like to think of it as a compliment to say, I would have liked to see more issues of this comic from you. So, I mean, generally positive. I just wish it had been longer to space out some scenes and, like, just kind of, I don't know, give the writing a bit of room to breathe. Some of it felt rushed, like I mentioned at the end with all the other kids in tanks who got abandoned, things like that. But I enjoyed this. 3.5.
Yeah, you're kind of right. If the worst thing we can say about it is that there wasn't enough of it, that's not a bad tick.
That's true, yeah.
I'm going to give it a 3.5, just because I'm a pretty big brown cut. I really love Firefly. I've watched it, I don't know how many times through. I've watched the movie more times than I've watched the show, just because it's easier. And, like, I'm one of those people, if I'm just in a weird mood or if I'm just working on something, I'll have a show on in the background. So, like, if I'm playing World of Warcraft or if I'm even at work, I'll have an episode of something on in the background, and I'll throw on Firefly or Serenity every once in a while. It's one of the ones that I throw on. And before I started reading this, I had it on my pull list, and I waited for all 6 issues to come up before I read it, because I want to sit down and read it in one shot. So I don't know why I didn't just get the trade, but I think because I wanted the covers.
It's fun to collect. I'm the same way. Otherwise, I would just have a bunch of trades.
Yeah.
So when not that I don't have a bunch of trades, but I have a lot of both.
Not that it stems the tide, but you gotta try.
Yeah.
So I sat down with all 6 of these issues, and I had so much anxiety about this because as a fan, you invest in it, you know, and like you want it to be good, and you don't want to be let down by something that you love. You know, and it's not like Star Wars. There's so much Star Wars stuff out there. If I read a shitty Star Wars comic, I can go read, I don't know, one of the other 500-something Star Wars comics, Extended Universe, whatever was made. If a crappy Serenity or Firefly thing comes out, it's bigger, because the universe is so much smaller.
The verse
is so much smaller, exactly, excuse me. And it's,
come on, I thought you were a brown coat.
I'm speaking in the general universe world building sort of thing. But the verse is smaller, and it's like, it means more. And I'm giving this 3.5 because it didn't let me down. And I had fun reading it. And I'm one of those people who, I saw Jubal earlier, and I was like, yeah, Jubal! Because I love him. And if you're a fan, there's nothing about this to dislike, I think. I mean, you can go, oh, I wish it had been longer, I wish there was more, I wish there was this, and it doesn't feel quite right. But there's no Jar Jar Binks here. Right? That's a good...
Oh, poor Jar Jar.
That's a good correlation, right? Like, there's so much anxiety before Episode 1 came out, and it wasn't bad, you were doing alright, you're doing okay, the droids are kind of iffy, but whatever. And then Jar Jar shows up, and you're like, oh, motherfucker. Like, there's no point reading this comic when you went, oh, motherfucker. It was an okay comic, and it was fun to read. And honestly, that's a pretty low bar to have, I think. But that's what you get when you get licensed comics. You get a lot of Jar Jar. And it sucks. Because it's Jar Jar. Yeah. Anyway, you guys ready for our first ever Welcome to Comics competition?
Oh, man, I'm so apprehensive. I'm going to lose this one. Because I care less about Firefly than you guys.
All right, let's do it.
Fight Night, Round 1.
Oh, God.
So, the way Fight Night works is each one of us is going to get their chance to give a couple sentences about why they think their choice is the best and give their argument. And then after all three of us have gone, we're going to vote on a winner other than ourselves. And if there's a tie, everybody tied gets points. So this week's Fight Night is, what is the best Firefly episode? So I'm going to go first, just to kind of lay it out there. My favorite episode has to be Objects in Space. Okay, because number one, you get plenty of Summer Glau, which is what everybody really, really wants when you're watching this. Number two, you get Jubal Early. And I know you don't remember Jubal, but I'm sure when you remembered him, you're like, oh yeah, that was a fun episode.
Well, so, like, I thought, I need to go back and watch that episode. So.
You're damn right. And that's what makes a good episode. And it might not have all that other, like, oh, heavy kind of, how did the team get together, heartwarming moment or anything. But it has a really good episode ending where they're all like, yeah, fuck that guy. And you like him and you hate him, but it's such a satisfying win. And you get to see River be ingenious, earn her keep, and finally, like, you feel her coming somewhere, you know? And it's a great, satisfying episode.
Round 2.
All right, Jen, your turn.
Okay, my favorite episode is Trash. First, it reveals a lot about three of my favorite characters. Mal has serious issues with women, and when he gets abandoned naked in the desert, that exemplifies those issues. Jane can sometimes be an utter and total shit, and when he tries to sell out the Tams, that exemplifies his problems. And third, Simon, who I like so much. I named one of my dogs after him.
That's true. What'd you name your other dog, by the way?
River Tam. Mm-hmm. Yep. So, he is such an ethical guy that he promises Jane, no matter what, he will never, ever harm him because he's a doctor and Jane is, like, one of the people he's supposed to be caring for. And finally, I can kill you with my brain.
Round 3.
David, you're up.
Okay, so I know we're supposed to try to, like, pick the best episode of Firefly, but my favorite episode is Shindig, which, for those who don't recall, this is the episode where Inara gets contracted to some guy who wants her to become his personal companion, and at the same time, Mal and Kaylee go to that dance where Kaylee has the best dress of all time. Yeah, and then Mal punches the dude, Inara's guy, and then they have a sword fight duel. So this episode, I feel like, so this episode has a lot of my favorite characters and my favorite relationships from the show. It has some great Kaylee moments. It is a Inara Mal heavy episode. Because this Mal always talks about how Inara is a whore, right? But in this episode, he tells her it's not that he doesn't respect her profession, but he respects her, and that's why he punched out that dude, because he doesn't respect Inara. And so I feel like that says, you know, Jen mentioned that Mal has issues with women, but I feel like this shows some of Mal's, this episode really exemplifies his nobility, and even though he's, like, maybe not the best leader in some ways, he certainly is, he's the right leader for this group of misfits. But
he's not the hero Serenity deserves. He's the
hero Serenity needs. Yes, he is Serenity's Batman. He's the Batman of Serenity's Gotham City. Anyways, and then it has Badger, and everybody loves seeing Badger. And it has a very creepy River moment where she comes out of the, you know, after Badger's men, like, ties them up, and then she comes out and she just, I forget what she says exactly, but she really puts Badger on tilt. It's, and then she just goes back into her room and everybody's like, what the fuck just happened? So I feel like this episode, the episode just hits a lot of high marks, for, and while also being very fun, you know, because of the duel, and it's almost like a holodeck episode of Star Trek in some ways.
Okay.
And I just used way more than a couple sentences, yeah, I know. So I'm sorry about
say,
that.
That's time, buddy. That's time. All right. So let's vote. Jen.
Shindig. Yeah,
David. Shindig? Okay. David.
I'm going to go with Jen. I'm going to go with Trash.
Oh, this is going to be tough. So I get to choose the winner. No, neither one of you chose me. Okay. If one of you had chosen Janestown or our Mrs. Reynolds, you would have gotten my vote. Those are my runner-ups. But I really do think, Jen, that you just like Trash because it has Nathan Fillion ass.
You know, I don't think he's that attractive. It's really the also I can kill you with my brain quote that gets me for that one.
All right, that line's really good, but I also love Kaylee a lot, so I gotta go with Shindig in that fucking dress.
That is fair.
Yes, I can't believe I won.
Good episode.
Winner, David.
All right.
But seriously, guys, that episode is the one that sticks out the most to me in my mind, and it's definitely my favorite. I really love that episode. It's one of my favorite episodes of TV. Yeah. So maybe that's why I was able to argue for it so passionately and run out the clock. That was my strategy.
That was, you cheated. That's what it was. All right.
I'm sorry.
So question, was Janestown like everyone's runner-up? Because it was mine and Andy's.
I like Jane. I didn't put any runners up. I enjoyed. I like Janestown. I like the train job a lot too. Maybe it's because I like trains a lot. But
okay,
it's a good one.
There's some great. The show, you know, there's only what 14 episodes. It packed a lot of greatness into those episodes.
All right, so that's it for this week. Next week we're going to read "Forever Evil" by Jeff Johns.
Yeah,
because you know you can't do a best of without a Jeff Johns.
Well, here's the thing. This wasn't originally my choice. I originally put Moon Knight, Warren Ellis' Moon Knight down, but the other day, yesterday in fact, I was thinking about what I really loved reading in the last year, and I couldn't remember if Forever Evil was in 2013 or 2014. It's actually in both. It spanned both years, so I think it counts. And then I desperately looked for a best of list that contained it, and I found one. So thank you, IGN.com, for giving me the fuel necessary to put that. So, yeah, it's only seven issues. So I think it was – I'm just going to give you guys a little teaser. I think this is one of the – I think this is a good example of how a crossover should be done really well. So, yeah. We're going to read it next week. It's only seven issues. So go find them. They're great.
You know, I make the jokes about how we can't have a best of without Jeff Johns, but then we have four episodes of Best of 2014. Each one of us chose one, and the fourth one just says Matt Fraction next to it, because Matt Fraction's always in the best of for every fucking year, because Matt Fraction. Like, there's my choice, your choice, Jen's choice, and Matt Fraction.
And then listener's choice.
That's right, and the listener's choice, Ms. Marvel. But you know what? I can't list all of them. We have shit planned out all the way to April. If you want that, go to welcometocomics.com. But anyway, that's it for this week. Next week, Forever Evil, Jeff Johns, 1-7. Till next week, everybody. Bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.